We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
Well, verse 9 first, it says, if he has betrothed her son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. So the hope is, okay, if he's not going to marry, the son will, and she's still going to be taken care of like he's one of his daughters, okay? But verse 10 says, if he takes another wife, so he doesn't become the son's wife either, doesn't become his wife, he wants to take another wife, they can't redeem her, he's going to take another wife. Well, guess what? She, you're still going to have to take care of like she is your wife. And it says, he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, clothing, or marriage rights. So now he's going to be burdened with two wives, okay? He can do that. But if he doesn't want to do that, verse 11, if he does not do these three things, takes her as a wife, son doesn't keep her as a wife, doesn't keep her then as a second wife, guess what? Then she shall go out free without paying money. She can go back to her home. She can go back to her home. And so again, God has all these things in place so that she will be treated fairly. If anything, if she isn't going to become his wife and she doesn't want to be known as the second wife or whatever, guess what? She can go back home. She can go back home. But the whole point of first selling her to begin with is so she would be up in status, that she would marry up, okay, and be respected and things like that. So now the rest of chapter 21, we're not done talking about servitude. We're not done talking about slavery, okay? But as you go through the rest of chapter 21, a lot of times you go, it talks about this, then this, then this, and this. It just seems very convoluted. It's not convoluted. What happens in the rest of chapter 21, 12 through 36, is now they're going to move on to capital crimes, then they're going to move on to personal injury, and then also criminal negligence. And capital crimes happen to free people, and capital crimes happen to servants or slaves. Guess what? Same judgments for both. Same judgments for both. And then when it comes to personal injury, same, those things happen to free people as well as those who are in servitude. Guess what? Judgments are equal for both. And then there's criminal negligence. Guess what? We're going to find out equal judgment for both. So here, I want to, but before we go any further, I want to talk about the judges, okay? The judges that are brought up in Deuteronomy 16, 18. Says, you shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You're not to show partiality. We're going to find out this is for the stranger as well as for the Israelite. You're not to show partiality. Oh, there's an issue between the stranger and a Hebrew. Well, obviously, I'm going to go by way of the Hebrew because I'm Hebrew. No, you're not. You're going to be a just judge, and you're going to show no partiality at all. You're not to pervert justice. In Deuteronomy 24:17, it says, you shall not pervert justice do the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. Don't take advantage of people. Chapter 25, verse 1 of Deuteronomy, if there's a dispute between men and they come to court and the judges may judge them, they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. That's what they're supposed to do. They're to judge righteously. Any dispute between a Jew or a stranger, you go to court in order to get justice from the judges, no partiality. Judge righteously, just judgment. You don't want to oppress the servant or the slave. In Deuteronomy 24:14, you shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. So a servant can be a Hebrew, a servant can be a stranger or an alien. And guess what? Don't oppress either one. Well, I know I'm not supposed to oppress my brethren, but this guy's a stranger. He's not one of us. Still can't oppress them. The word oppress in the Hebrew, ashak, and it means to exploit, to act wrongly towards, to treat unjustly, or be violent towards. Okay? This is the heart of God. Do not oppress a hired servant, either a Jew or a stranger or alien, which means you do not exploit them, act wrongly towards them, or be violent towards them. This is the heart of God towards servants. So let me ask you, with the Atlantic trade of slaves before the Civil War, was that going on with slavery? No. They were oppressed. Their masters were very violent towards them. That's not the heart of God. And that's not what's going on here. That's not what's going on here. I want to read this again, Deuteronomy 24:17. You shall not pervert justice, do the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garments as pledge. You don't pervert justice due to the stranger. You're not to return a runaway slave of another nation. Deuteronomy 23:15. You shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst, in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. Now, why do you think a slave from another nation would run away and come to Israel? Because the slaves of other nations are being treated cruel and being oppressed, and their masters are violent towards them. That's why. And their servitude is not temporary. Theirs is permanent. So they come over to Israel. And why do they go to Israel? Because they have heard. They're going to hear, hey, you know what? Servitude over there is different. Slavery over there is different. It's not really slavery, it's servitude. And they treat you well. And so they're going to want to flee to Israel. Now, how do you know that this person is a runaway slave from a surrounding nation? Mostly because slaves from other nations had markings on them, had permanent marks on them. It could be a cutting of the ear. It could be different things. It could be some sort of branding that is for all to see, usually on the face area or somewhere on the hand or somewhere where you don't cover up. And you can tell that they are a slave. Dave, how do you know this is talking about a servant from another nation? Because as we're going to see here in a moment, if you're a Hebrew slave or servant being abused, being oppressed, you could go to the judges. You can go to the judges and they will set you free if that's going on. They will set you free if you're being oppressed. So in these verses, you can see the heart of God of why he has set up this kind of a system. It's not to oppress. It's not to be violent or cruel to someone. It is to help them. It isn't a handout. It is a hand up of trying to get them to a place where they can take care of themselves. That's what this is all about. So looking at some of the capital crimes here in verse 12, it says, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he does not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, meaning it's accidental, then I will appoint for you a place where you may flee, which is one of the cities of refuge. Okay? But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar and that he may die. So we went over this in the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. So you can go back to that and listen to that whole teaching if you want to know more about this. But the long and the short of this is if it's premeditated, if you meant to kill someone and they die, that's murder and you're going to die. If it was accidental, well, guess what? You have a city of refuge that you can flee to until the judges can figure out everything that's going on in order to declare you innocent. Okay. Verse 15 says, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Seems a little harsh. Seems a little bit like, whoa, you know. But understand what we had read before. God raises up judges. Judges make the inquiries. They're the ones that question everything that's going on. Did they really strike you? Did they strike you with intent? Did they strike you because they truly wanted to harm you? Was it accidental? They're trying to walk away from your presence. You don't walk away from me. And they throw their hand up and they actually smacked you. I mean, there's all sorts of things that the judges are going to inquire about. Okay? And so, again, we're talking about an adult son or daughter being killed for striking their parents. And again, they're going to look in, is there a history to that? Is it a one-time thing? Are you repentive? Do you hate them so much that you're truly trying to kill them and it was an assault, attempted murder? They're going to look into all those things, okay? They're going to look into those things, and they will make that judgment. They will make that determination. Verse 16, who kidnaps a man and sells him or is found in his hand shall surely be put to death. Again, man-stealing. We've been going over that. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. The Atlantic slave trade in Europe and the Americans have all participated in was wrong. God's word makes that very clear from the very beginning. And he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. That sounds a little harsh. The idea is that an adult child who threatens their parent, you know, it's kind of like if you curse your mother and father. Well, okay. Okay, Lord, I'm going to close my eyes right now. Show me of all the people here who would still be here if they've ever cursed or said a cross word to their parents. Well, God is showing me right now, none of you would be here. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm not even in the pulpit. That can't be what's being spoken of here. Can't be what's being spoken of here. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 says this. Expands a little bit more of really what's being said here, okay? Remember, again, you struck your parents. You cursed your father and mother, okay? To curse them, it means that you've come to this place, you're going to bring them before the judges. Well, we're told in Deuteronomy 21, 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, who then have chastened him and will not heed them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city. Again, those elders would be the judges. To the gate of his city. They shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Okay. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with a stone, so they shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, we don't have one case study in all that the Jews have written about their history and things like that of this ever happening, okay? But as I look at this, again, you have someone that is, in a sense, a lost cause. Nothing is working. Nothing is working. And if you don't respect your parents, if you don't respect society there, that you're not working the land, remember, everybody gets a plot of land as they go into Israel. They're supposed to work on the farm. They're supposed to work with the flocks and the herds. They're supposed to do it. No, I'm not doing any of that. Look, God, yeah, I don't care. So it shows a direct rebellion against God and the authority and the system and the society he has put in place. And so he goes before the elders, and he obviously doesn't respect them, and he just shows himself to be this complete rebellious kid. And he said, there's not a point that this is going to turn around. And so, yes, they would stone him, get rid of him. It is a bad seed for whatever reason. What kind of a message do you think that sends to the rest of society that are choosing to rebel or whatever? They're going to go, oh, wow, maybe I need to turn things around. I look at this, he is a glutton and a drunkard. He's willing to take and eat and even more than he deserves and willing to get drunk off of the work of others in the vineyard and things like that, but he is not willing to contribute to society one iota. This could be looked at today as your son in the basement eating chips playing video games. What are you contributing to the household, to society, things like that? I'm not saying we can now take you out and smack you with rocks and things like that. But it does show that the heart behind this is the fact you're a taker, 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 taker. You're a parasite on society. You're willing to take. You're a glutton. You're a drunkard, but you're not giving back into the work effort of that plot of land. And so it's been brought to the elders. The elders will talk to the community. This probably isn't the first time, you know, that they've been brought out or whatever. Well, let's just see. Look, this is what we want you to do. Okay. And then he doesn't do it or whatever it might be. God has given the judges wisdom on how to proceed with these kind of things. God has given them wisdom enough to do this. Then we have some personal injury situations of verse 18. If men contend with each other and one strikes the other with a stone or with a fist, and he does not die but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted, meaning that they're not going to get the death penalty and things like that because he's up walking around. He's going to be okay. He shall only pay for the loss of his time and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. So again, what is going to happen here? He's walking about. There's going to be some time for recovery. Guess what? The offending party is the one that's going to have to compensate him, cover his medical expenses, his lost time, his lost revenue because he can't work. Yeah, the offender is going to have to provide for him until he is thoroughly healed. It makes sense. You know, that's why we have courts today when those kind of things happen. You know, it was an accident. Okay, it might be an accident, but because of what you did, this person can't work. This person now has medical bills. Guess what? You're responsible for that. You're responsible for that. So seems right. And we're talking about free men here. Now comes to verse 20. If a man beats his male or female servant with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. The word beat here in the Hebrew is nakah. And it means to strike either lightly or severely, okay? The word rod here is shevet, and it means staff or stick. The word punished here in the Hebrew is nakam, and it means to avenge. And this word here is a verb, and it's always in reference to the death penalty, the word punished here. And so the murderer of a servant, guess what? Same judgment as a murderer of a free person. Okay, they will be avenged. They will be punished. They will have the death penalty come their way. Now in verse 21, it says, notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall be punished. He shall not be punished, for he is his property. Now, in the old King James reads this way because the word alive isn't in the original at all. It says it this way. Notwithstanding, if he continues a day or two is kind of a phrase that's used. If he continues on after that, it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days or whatever, okay? He shall not be punished, for he is his money. What is being spoken of here, he shall not be punished. The death penalty isn't going to come his way because it looks like he's getting better, okay? He continues a day or two or three or whatever. He's not going to die because he's not going to be punished with the death penalty, okay? For he is his money. The word continue here in the Hebrew means to stand or to stand upright. So again, if he stands up, well, then that tells you he's going to be okay in a day or two or three. And so this isn't, if there's a lingering disability, the judges will decide what to do. And the word property, his property is a Hebrew word, kasef. It means money, is what that word means. It means money. In other words, it's the master who's going to lose out on not having this able-bodied servant working. The servant is a working asset to the master's estate, and now the servant is not able to do his job. Thus, the master is losing out financially. It's costing him money. The Old Testament affirms the full personhood of a servant. Job would say this, as he considers how he has treated the servants that he has had, and he's before the Lord, he says this, if I have despised the cause of my male or female servant when they complained against me, if they complained against me and I treated them poorly and didn't listen to what they had to say, basically is what he's saying here, What then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, avenges, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Do not the same one fashion us in the womb? You know what Job is saying? He says, myself and servants are equal. They were fashioned in their mother's womb just like I was. And so if I stand before God, I better have treated my servants well, is what he is saying there. And because we are told that we're supposed to treat our servants well, not mistreat them, what does that tell us? If we're not supposed to mistreat them, if we're not supposed to be cruel to them, then that tells us we're supposed to treat them well. This is why, if you drop down to verse 26, okay, we'll get back to the other ones. Go down to verse 26, it says, if a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him, what? Go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. What is not being said here, okay, there's two ways you can go free. And that is, if your master knocks out a tooth or blinds you in one eye, then you can go free. But if he cuts off your fingers, or if he beats you with 40 lashes, and if he you can't go free. But if he knocks out a tooth, blinds you in one eye, then you can go free. That's not what's being said here. What is being said here is that here's two examples of your master treating you harshly, oppressing you, being cruel. It's causing disfigurement. And if any of that happens, guess what? You get to go free. That's why I know in Deuteronomy that it's speaking of a runaway slave. Because slave could go to the judges and saying, this is what my master is doing to me. Well, what do you mean? You look pretty good. And all of a sudden he takes off his shirt and his back is just ripped open by all the beatings. He's going to go, yeah, let's bring him in here. You're going free. You're going free. Any sort of disfigure, anything that's going to show you're being mistreated, you're going to go free. Now, backing up here to verse 22, again, personal injury. It says, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as a woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay, look what it says, as the judges determine. Okay, so the judges are there for this. We're going to put a pin in this. We're going to start with this next week. There's a lot to unpack here in the way of pro-life that I want to be able to show you here. That, again, will just take up too much time for what we're trying to do here this morning. So we'll start there next week. Look what it says in verse 23, speaking of free people. If any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Let me make this very clear. We've all seen that very, very stupid bumper sticker that says, an eye for an eye makes the world go blind. Okay, yeah, if you're an idiot, and that's what you actually think this means, but that's not what this means, okay? What this means is equal justice. It means that if you take a life, your life is going to be taken. Yes, absolutely. Unless it was accidental, as we read before.
Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study through the book of Exodus. Don't miss it. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45.
please be sure to bring a side dish to share.
And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.